Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy. I'm pleased to bring to you the first and second Mishnah of the final chapter, the 10th chapter of Bava Metzia for OU's Shnayim Mishnah program. Habayit va'aliyah shel shnayim shenaflu. So two people who share ownership in a house. One of them owns the main floor, and one of them owns the attic. And naflu, the house falls down. So the question is, how do they recover their parts of the assets since all you have is a big broken jumble of stone and brick or whatever it is? And the answer is, Shneim cholkim ba'itim uva'avanim uva'afar. They split up the stones, the wood, and the dirt. The afar is dirt. I suppose that's also part of the construction material. And they split it, each according to whatever their percentage of the house was. So if the attic was 30% of the overall building of the house, he gets 30% of the wood slash stone slash dirt, and the other guy gets 70%, and if it's 50-50, it's 50-50. And the reason why that is it's all mixed up. You couldn't tell whose stones are whose. And therefore, and whose wood is whose, and whose dirt is whose. And therefore, you simply split it down the middle or in whatever proportion it is, and nobody can lay claim to any specific part of it. On the other hand, and this next part is a new case, although at first glance it doesn't look like the Mishnah is talking about a new case, but the case here is different. The case is when you see the house falling, you can tell which part of the house fell apart. So, viroim elu avanim haruyot lishtaber. So if you see how the house fell, and you can tell from the way it fell whether the stones on the main floor are the broken ones, which means it sort of collapsed straight down, so you know that it was the lower stones that gave way, or if it were the stones from the upper floor that broke, and in this case the house sort of topples outward, head first and then forward or backward or whatever direction, but not straight down, then you know that the top floor was the one that broke and brought the rest of the house down. So in those cases, since you can tell which stones are the broken ones, that is, which part of the house the broken ones came from, and which part of the house the non-broken ones came from, so then you could divide it based on who owned which part of the house. Im haya echad mehem makir miktsat avanav, notzlim v'olot lo min acheshbo. Now, going back to the first case, where it was impossible to tell from the way the house fell whose stones were whose. But one person says, he points to a stone, he says, hey, these bunch of unbroken stones, that's definitely my part of the house, I can tell. So the Mishnah says, notzlim, he takes them, v'olot lo min acheshbon, which according to the commentary, Tosfot Yom Tov means, the other guy gets an equal amount of unbroken stones that are not being claimed by the first guy who says he recognizes some of the stones. And as we learned many times in Bava Metzia, this seems to go against the fundamental rule of Hamotzi Mei Chaveru Alav Araya. If you want to take money away from your friend, you have to have proof. And as we answered many times before, the Gemara says this is a case of Moda B'miksa, which means the other guy admitted at least some of the first guy's stones that he's claiming do belong to him. So in a case of Moda B'miksa, where you admit that somebody else does have a certain financial claim, but not all of the financial claim. So then you have to swear that the other part of the stones do not belong to him. Unfortunately, in this case, you're not sure because you can't tell from the way the house fell which stones are whose and which stones came from which part of the house. And therefore, since you were moda b'miksa, you admitted some of it. But you can't make the swear in order to disclaim that he owns the other part. So then essentially the other guy gets everything that he claims. On to Mishnah Bet. And Mishnah Bet, even though it starts with the same terminology as the previous Mishnah, where the previous Mishnah was dealing with two people who own a house, here one person is renting a part of his house to a second person. That is, the owner of the house has the main floor, whether he's living in it or not, and he's renting out the attic to a person. And the reason why, even though the language of the Mishnah doesn't really look this way, so you'll see the case doesn't work out if they both have partial ownership. Habayit v'aliyah shel shnayim. Two people involved in a house. One person is the owner and may or may not have been living on the ground level, and the other person is the renter who's definitely up on the attic, the top level, and the attic loses a portion of its flooring, which turns out a space of more than 4 by 4 tefachim. A tefach is about 3 to 4 inches of the size of a fist from knuckle to knuckle. So say a bit more than a square foot of the floor breaks away. So in that case, where you do have that much loss to the floor of the attic, the owner of the house is responsible to make the fix. If it's smaller than that, he doesn't have to make a fix because it's just a little hole. If you want to fix it, it's your problem. But he doesn't have to. It. In the case where it is 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, he does have to. But in this case, it says ein bala bayit rotel take. He just doesn't want to make the fix. He can't be bothered. And this is how we know that the Mishnah must be talking about a renter in the attic, because if the guy owned the attic, if they were both owners in each one's portion of the house, then an owner would certainly be responsible for losses to his own flooring. So it's a rental, and we have a situation where there's damage to the floor, and the owner doesn't want to make the fix. Hari bal ha'aliyah yored vidar lemata ad sheyitaken lo ha'aliyah. So the guy who's living in the attic could go live in the main floor until the owner agrees to make the fix. I have no idea whether the owner is also there and then they have to share that part of the house or whether the owner's not there. But either way, the guy who only rented the attic now is allowed to live in the main floor of the house. And the Gemara says that there's a narrow case where this is true. If the stipulation of the rental was that I'm going to rent you this attic, then we've seen before that when you rent something to somebody and then an accident happens, even if it's an act of God, so the owner really is not responsible for anything, because you could always say to the guy, listen, it's your bad luck which caused the loss. So therefore, the Gemara says that the terms of the rental were as follows. I am renting you this attic, which is on top of this house. And by using that terminology, they're essentially linking the house to the rental, the house to the attic rental. It's as if the attic uses the main part of the house as collateral to it, and therefore, should the attic become unlivable for any reason, therefore the house becomes his to rent as well. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hatachton notin et hatikra, ve'elyon et amaziva. So the Tanakhama, the Chachamim say that it's completely the responsibility of the owner of the house to make the fixes to the flooring of the attic, which is also the ceiling of the bottom of the first floor. Rabbi Yossi disagrees and says not true. While the owner is responsible to put the tikra, which would be the ceiling, which would be the boards and the beams that are below the attic, that work as sort of the underpinnings of the attic floor, the ma'aziva, which is like a pitch or some kind of surfacing material, which smooths out the flooring so that there aren't cracks and holes. So that is the responsibility of the renter, because that's face up to the renter's part as opposed to face down to the owner's part, and he's responsible for the stuff that's sort of facing in his direction. But we don't follow the ruling of Rabbi Yossi, we follow the ruling of the Tanakam, the Chachamim, who say that the whole thing is part of the owner's responsibility, whether it's the bottom side of his roof or the top side, which is the floor of the attic.